Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everybody. Hey, good to be together. Good to talk about the things of God, to worship God, to grow in God. Everything is about God, right? Yeah. And this is Palm Sunday. You know what that means? That's when Jesus gets on the donkey and he begins to ride in Jerusalem, and they take palms and they worship him and they wave him before him. They put him down so he rides on it. And an incredible event that took place. That day, they weren't even thinking about a few days later what was going to take place. In fact, some of those very ones that were waving the branches, praising his name, a few days later screamed out and cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It's like, what? How does that happen? How do people who were just a few days earlier were worshiping him, and then a few days later crying out, "Crucify him"? How can that be? Hey, when you read the Bible about Jesus Christ, don't you just love him? Rewind. Hey, when you read the Bible about Jesus Christ, don't you just love him? It was not a trick question. All right, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine being with him every day and just taking in all those things that he had to say? But not just the things that he had to say, how he loved people, how you saw him, would see him heal the sick. Just a few days before the scripture, he was healing a woman's son. He fed thousands. I mean, if you were with him, you would just be amazed at that, right? What went wrong with Judas? Now you think about that. How could a man spend 3 years with the Son of God and turn on him like he did? You might say, oh, well, that was just God manipulating because that's what needed to happen. Oh, really? You think that's all it was? We've been talking the last few weeks, and this is going to be the last time they do it because I don't want to depress some of you anymore. We've been talking about the aspect of sin and what it means and how it affects us and how it is deep inside of us and that nature that wants to rebel against God and do his own thing. Well, that's what was happening here. There is stuff inside of us that goes so deep that sometimes we don't see it, but then it comes out. I have to think that Judas, even though Peter said about him, oh, he was a thief and a liar from the beginning. And he was. But how can someone be with Christ and turn on him like that? How can people who are praising him, his name, shout, "Crucify him"? Because there is something in us that's evil. I'm just telling you. And last week I said, for the Christian, for the follower of Christ, for the one who understands the gospel, all that does, when you begin to see those things that go deep inside of you, all that does for you is you begin to love him more. Because you see how much he loves you and how much he's forgiven. And the more that you see of sin in you, the more you love him. Chew on that one. This is why Jesus said, watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Beware of that leaven of the Pharisees. Be careful here. There is something inside of you that will permeate your life, that will destroy you. And I wish that when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that all that was gone. Is there anyone that has happened to you, that when you came to Jesus, there was no evil left? Is there anyone, because if you're here and that's you, I can't help you, we'll send you to psychologists. But if there's any honesty at all, since you've come to Christ, you've seen those things. You've seen some bad stuff. You've seen the jealousy, the envy. You've seen the things that has stirred inside of you that you knew full well that Christ did not want you to do, but you did it anyway. And you're a real Christian. Oh yeah, you came back and said, Jesus, forgive me. But let me tell you, you understand that which is lurking. You understand that sin that is present. And Jesus, in dealing with this, he says, the Pharisees, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know what leaven is? It's yeast that's in bread that makes it grow. There's something about, now yeast is this leaven is it's a single cell organism. Do you know that? Do you know that it's alive? Yeah. And you see, it's dry. You can see some of it's dry, and you take it, and I've seen my wife do that. She pours it in a bowl, and she puts some other stuff in it, water and maybe some sugar. And she swirls it around, lets it dissolve and everything, and then she puts it in the bread, and it begins, she kneads it and stuff. I've seen my wife do that. And then she puts it in this container. And not too long, it begins to rise. You smell it. And you take a pinch and you get in trouble. You take a pinch and go, whoops. Well, there's something about this yeast that Jesus wants us to see that's in the Pharisees. First of all, you can't see the yeast in bread, but it's there. Second of all, this yeast, you put it in some bread and it permeates the whole thing. That's what yeast does. Thirdly, as that yeast is kneaded and put into the bread, it begins to eat up the sugar that's in it. And it begins to burp carbon dioxide. And that's why it begins to come up. It's just eating away at the sugar. And the longer you keep that in there, it becomes more sour, and I guess that's how they get sour bread, sourdough. I can remember my wife with my family, they would have this little container that was in, what did you call it, starter? And it was sourdough. And you had to be careful, had to be well taken care of, and they would take some of that, and they were, or take it all, however much, and they would put it in their bread so they could make sourdough bread and sourdough pancakes. Anybody getting hungry yet? Well, Jesus said, beware of this yeast that is in the Pharisees. And he uses it in the strongest terms. He says, watch out! Watch out! Because you see, there's something in the Pharisees that we have the same potential of having. The same yeast. And it can be hidden. In fact, that's the worst kind of sin in us, that we don't see it. That's the worst kind of thing, that you have something that goes deep inside of you and you don't see it, and then at some point it comes out in a horrible manner, horrible way. It comes shooting out of your life. And you might say, I don't know where that came from. Well, I do. It came from you. You know, no, it was the way my dad, what my uncle did. It was what, no, no, it came from you. It was inside of you. It was something that was inside of you that was percolating, that was spreading. And you didn't see it, and you didn't deal with it. And now it's complicating everything in your life. In my life. You see, it's there. I don't like it, but it's there. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you don't recognize some things in you, a failure of sin, of ugliness, if you don't see some of those things, that's the worst kind of sin. And things are going to begin to rise in you. And at times will come out sideways and things will happen. Those people that waved the branches in worship, they didn't know. This was the king. Now, they had something in mind, see, different than what the gospel was all about. You see, they were looking for a king that would overcome the other kingdoms, Rome, that was oppressing them, taxing them. And so they were looking for a king that would come and set them free. That's why those Pharisees says, hey, we haven't seen any signs. We need to see a sign. You haven't seen? You haven't seen anything, and Jesus said there will be no sign for this generation. What was he talking about? What were they talking about? Sign? He fed thousands. Later on, he feeds more thousands. He had just cast out a demon. He wasn't even close to the child, and a demon left because he made it happen. In that day, there were authors that wrote about this man in Jerusalem. His name was Jesus, and they verified some of his miracles, and none of them ever denied that it happened. What they did is they began to question how he was doing. You see, we look back, well, it really wasn't real, or we might think, well, you know, those are just stories. No, look, in that day, people wrote about this one in Jerusalem and what was happening. This Christ is real. This Jesus is real. He did incredible miracles. He raises someone from the dead. He heals people right and left everywhere he goes. Things incredible happen. And these Jews, these leaders, they say, hey, we want to see a sign. Now you read the Bible, you say, oh yeah, yeah, that's the Christ. He's God made flesh. Look what he's doing. Now, you would read that and you'd say, yeah, well, we believe because of those things. Let me tell you, they saw those things. They saw those things, and they said, we want a sign. We want a sign. What was that all about? Well, it was about, they were looking for something different. They were looking for someone that would come along, because, you see, these guys were the leaders of Israel. And they were looking for someone that would come along and verify their leadership and take over nations, and they would become the governors and the leaders over the world. That's the kind of king they were looking for. They didn't understand that Christ was coming in weakness, not in strength. Christ came in weakness, not in strength. Because he came to set us free from the bondage. That doesn't mean that you get rid of your sin. It means that sin is in you, and in Jesus you can be overcomers and it can be broken. But you got to see it first. It was permeating their whole life, even to the point where they couldn't see the things that God was doing. I meet Christians like that all the time. They're complaining about everything. What's happening to the world? I don't see God doing anything. My life is a mess. And where is He? Where is He? You see, for those kinds of people, they're looking for a sign. And it's all around them. I'm telling you, it's all around them. And more important than anything else, the greatest sign that we could have as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, that Easter's coming. That He was resurrected from the dead. After being put to death, He was resurrected. Now let me tell you, that's a sign. Do you think that's a sign? Yeah, that's a sign. But He did that for you and for me. This yeast also eats up the sugar, the sweetness. And if you leave it sit long enough, it can even become bitter and not edible. Because the yeast eats up the sweetness. What are things in our life that eats us up? What are those things inside of us? With the Pharisees, you could say one thing was pride. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This I'm having a problem here with this. Excuse me, I'm gonna break it. Oh yeah, that's better. The Pharisees had a tremendous amount of pride, and they couldn't even see that this is the bread of life. This is the Christ. There's something about this guy that was so incredible, so amazing. And they couldn't even see it. Pride is something that destroys us. Something that we can't see the sins in us. We can't see those things in us that are evil. And we can't even sometimes see the good things and the great things of God. And it begins to eat up the sweetness that's in the lives of Jesus Christ. Resentment. How about that? Someone does something to you, and you resent it. Someone did something to you years ago when you were a kid, and you resent it. I'll never forget the times, and it's been a long time since I told this story, but I had a brother-in-law that always called me meathead and idiot as a young teen. Meathead and idiot. How? And then I came to believe I'm meathead and idiot. Not really. I came back out and called him an idiot because I was pretty rebellious. Meathead and idiot. What happens to... Now, I could look at that and I could resent that. And that could percolate in me. And that could begin to rise up inside of me. And I could become resentful toward him. Now that guy's still alive and I love him dearly. My sister died not too long ago. He remarried. I was so happy. Genuinely happy. God's done an incredible thing in his life, and he's a wonderful man of God. But inside of me, there could be that resentment, that bitterness, because it begins to eat away at the sweetness that we can have in Christ, the love. You can become irritated so easily because that bitterness inside of you, and that's what happened. You have something maybe that goes real deep, and you don't even recognize, you don't even realize. You know what? You think that you've gone past that, but still residing deep down inside of you. It's still percolating. And then when you come around anyone that has any similar personality like that person, they don't even have to do anything bad, but there's something in you that you just don't like them. Anybody have experience? You don't know why you don't like someone? You just get around them and you just... You know, because you're much better than they are, and you know, their personality's just off. You never see your personality off. I never could understand when some teenagers told me, "You're just weird, Pastor Dave." They must have a problem. Well, they're teenagers. No. We all have some off things, right? But here's the thing. We have this inside of us. You meet someone and you don't even know why. You just don't like them. You know why that's the case? Because you've got some yeast in there. You've got some stuff in there that you don't see. And you look at them and you can find things that are wrong with them because you've learned that in your life and you're just kind of yucky toward them. What is that? I want you to know that that's that yeast that is eating up the sweetness. That's eating up the love of Christ in you. That's eating up something in you that when you get around certain people, it's so hard for you. One of the most difficult things is to face these things in our life. And if you're not a Christian and a true believer, this hits you sideways and it's almost impossible for you to see. But if you're a Christian, you embrace this. If you understand what Jesus has done, you embrace this. Oh God, I don't want to have that yeast. I want to have that sweetness. I want to have that love. I just want to love everyone. God, I want to be like you. That wherever you went, you cared for people. Here's what sin is. Me first, you second, or last. Grace is you first, me second. Think about that. Sin in you is me first, you second. Grace in you is you first. Now, that's a simple little illustration. It's something simple that you can think about. That in my life, okay, what am I doing? Someone I'm irritated with. Someone I'm bothered with. Oh, God, help me. God, come into my life and stir me. Because, God, I'm thinking of myself first and how they are bothering me instead of me thinking of them. How can I help them grow in Jesus Christ? You find someone that, even in a little church like this, that just irritates the heck out of you. And so what do you do? I'm telling you, because there's sin that is crouching in you. Because there's yeast that is bubbling. That when you see them, you bypass them. And why do you do that? Because sin is always me first. It's always how things affect me. It's always how things hurt me. It's always about how things happen to me. Well, Jason just doesn't sing the songs I like. Oh boy, I hit a tune there. He just, I wish he would sing such and such. It just bothers me. What's wrong with him? You know, that's what religious people do. Now, those songs that we sang this morning, for instance, I don't know those. Are those kind of new, some of them, or am I just a couple of them? So I'm trying to read the words and get the tunes, and, you know, I'm a little slower than most. And I'm trying to go along with that, but then I start realizing what the words say. And everything changes. What is it that's bubbling in you? If you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. I'm just telling you. If you don't deal with that thing, it will deal with you. Resentment. How about fantasies? People get real nervous at this point when I'm talking. How about sexual fantasies? not sexual fantasy. Not hurting anybody. I'm just in my own thing, thinking about someone that, you know, looking pretty good to me. And in my mind, no one knows, but, well, maybe God knows, but I'm not bothering anybody. You see, that's the sin in us that percolates, that we don't realize how incredibly horrible it is. See, Jesus said, if you even think or lust after a woman, you've sinned. But well, what happens? So it's percolating in my mind. I'm thinking. I'm lusting. I'm fantasizing. Do you think that that's it? That's not the end of sin. If the enemy of our soul can set it up and you keep percolating in your mind, you're going to fall at some point. Now listen to me. If you don't fall, it's going to take away from the feeling and the joy that you have with your wife or your husband. Because they will never be able to measure up to your fantasy. They will never be able to measure up to what you see in your mind. And so you'll be disappointed. And over time, it will come outside with irritation. You won't know what happened down the road when she says, I can't be married to you. Or he says, I've had enough of this. And it's all because of something that's percolating inside of you that you won't face. And if you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. I'm just telling you. I'm not only telling you by people that I counsel, but I'm telling you by my own experiences in life. If you don't deal with some of the things in your life, it will deal with you. It doesn't just lay dormant. It looks dormant. Why, you take that yeast, it's dry. If you get that kind of yeast, it's dry. But let me tell you, if it's down inside of there, then you won't face it. At some point, there's going to be a little water added and a little sugar added. And then all of a sudden, it starts percolating. It starts letting out that CO2, and it starts rising, it becomes bigger and bigger until it permeates. That's another thing that yeast does. It permeates the whole thing of your life, and it begins to come out. Man, I didn't follow my notes, so I know that I left a bunch of stuff out. There's another story there, and I have it in your notes there. And it's Mark 7 and verse 24. It has to do with bread too. God rejects the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees. And he says, watch out! But here comes a Gentile. Look at how he treats. Jesus got up, verse 24, and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape. Am I reading the right one? Yeah. Could not escape. Notice. But after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter and an unclean spirit immediately came and fell on his feet. Fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now before I go on into this, is there things percolating in you about race? Do people that are different than you in your race, do you have an issue? Do you have issues with other color? Does other color bother you? All that is sin lurking inside of you. Yeah, maybe things happened in your life, but if you're bothered by other races, it's because sin. It's not because anything else. It's because of sin inside of us. It's because it's lurking in us, ready to crouch and attack us. Now the woman was a Gentile of a Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, "Let the children be satisfied first." That was Israel, that was the Jews. "For it is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to dogs." You know what he said? I'll tell you what he said. "You're a dog. You're a dog." It's hard for me to read this story without getting emotional. Not because Jesus calls her a dog. Jesus had a way of drawing out the best or the worst of people. Now, in most of us, it would draw out the worst. "You're a dog. You're a meathead and an idiot. Takes one to know one. You're a bigger meathead and an idiot." As my brother-in-law would say that, it would stir up my anger, my frustration. I'd strike back at him. That's what Pharisees do. That's what sinners do. That's what people who don't realize that they have something percolating inside of them, and even an insult, they'll strike back. Because inside of them, it's me first, you second. Instead of you first, me second. Jesus calls her a dog. But she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord." She saw something in Jesus that was different than the leaders of the Jews saw. They were looking for something different than he had to offer. They thought they were good and perfect. Here's a woman who saw something in Jesus, knew something what he was about. He calls her a dog, and she says, "Yes." Okay. You know, the Bible makes it very clear in more than one place. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. This woman was humble. This woman recognized her place in her position with this man of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that she knew that she was nothing. The Pharisees, on the other hand, felt they had earned something in their goodness, in their morality, that God should do something for them because of who they were. This woman wanted God to do something for her because of who he was. Big difference. Big difference. And with her, he was first. She was second. With the Pharisees, they were first. He was second. How about our life? Who's first? Who's number one? How many times do you hear people in the world, "I got to take care of myself first, or I can't take care of anyone else"? If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you're going to save it. When you become second, and he becomes first, and others become first, you're going to gain something. This woman had her daughter saved. This woman had her daughter, who is demon-possessed, set free. This woman got blessed. Pharisees got talked about by Jesus. Watch out. Watch out about that pride in you. Watch out about that evil in you. We're going to have communion. Another bread. The leaven of the Pharisees, that bread inside of us that produces sin and that creates havoc in us. We need to recognize that. Or a bread that we're willing to take whatever God wants to give because He's God. Remember about Cain? If God wants to reject our works because we're just doing it for ourselves, let Him reject our works. Can't God the Father say, no, that's not good enough? That's not what I want from you. Can't He say that to us? I've said that for 3 weeks now. Can't He say that to us? And we say, oh Lord, teach me in Your ways. Help me in Your ways, Lord. Teach me that I might know You. Teach me, God, so I can learn how to please You. Teach me. And in that story last week, through the whole thing, through two episodes, God the Father wanted to have a relationship with Cain. Even after He had killed Abel, He knew what was taking place, but He approached Cain in a manner that you knew He wanted that relationship. But Cain wouldn't do it. Because there was sin inside of him that he would not deal with it. He would not face it. And the end result is his life became cursed. Men, come along and begin to serve. Worship team, come on up. Who's first in your life? Who's first? I was, a couple days ago, I went to the store. And went to Walmart. No one likes to go to Walmart. Well, maybe someone does. I don't. And I did a foolish thing, and I went at noon. And I was going to this one where there's a few parking spots. And I saw some backup lights. And someone was coming the other way. I stepped on it to beat him. Because I come first when it comes to parking. As I pulled in there, I laughed at myself. I said, you're fat. Park far away and walk. It's a beautiful day. But no, I'm fighting for the shortest. What is that in it? What? Let me tell you. That's leaven. That's yeast. That's sin. It's me first. It becomes so natural to us, and we don't even recognize. We just think, well, that's the way everyone is. And you're absolutely right. That is the way everyone is. We all have it. Begin to see it. So I'm in the Walmart, and I have a few things, and I'm walking this way. I see a lady coming, and she's got a cart full of stuff. What is that? Oh, man of God, I got things to do, place to go, and people to see. You know what I mean? Now, leaven. That in us. What if she beat me? Mess up my day. What if they get a parking lot, parking spot close to me, messes up my day? What if they get a raise and I don't, messes up my day? Oh, may we focus our eyes on you. Let's sing this song. Communion. His body that was broken, His blood that was shed. He didn't just become second, He became last. He became sin. His life cut short, and yet right on time, so that we could have life. Man, how can I do anything less than become second and Him become first? Others become first and me second. How can I continue to be so self-centered? Face the sin in you. Communion, we're going to have communion Friday. Hey, come. I know you get off work, you're tired. Hey, listen. Who's first? Are you listening to me? Who's first? Make Him first. Come. Eat together a short service as we then have communion. Connecting with one another, loving one another, sitting at a different level than we're doing right now, around tables, eating together. Make others first. God becoming flesh gave His life so that we could have life. His body that was broken. Let's eat together. Father, it just doesn't seem real that You gave Your Son. And yet You did. It doesn't seem possible that You would care that much for a people that You created, who didn't look to You, who didn't care about You, who did not love You, but You wanted to have a relationship with us. So You gave Your Son. Thank You. You hold the emblem of His blood that was shed. It's by the blood that sins are washed away. It's by the blood that we're made white as snow, not by your effort, but by His washing. Let's drink together. Father, thank You. Oh, thank You that we can lean into You even as we see the sin in us. That Your grace and Your mercy abounds in us. Not because of what we do, but because of what You do. Not because of who we are, but because who You are. Oh Lord, may we be impacted by that thought that we might put You first. You first. Others first in our life. Oh, we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.